Welcome to Fort Day Catholic. This is your host, Taylor Schroll, coming to you live from the Red Sea Radio Studios in College Station, Texas. It's wonderful to be here, and I just got to tell you before we even get started that the Lord proved his goodness to me today through the two people sitting right in front of me. Jake, our producer, is here, and Abby, his girlfriend. And I'm just going to tell you a little bit of a story. Like, typically when I come to do the show, I'm going to be here pretty late recording the show, editing the show, all that sort of thing. So I typically get home way after dinner time. So sometimes I'm like, okay, I'll eat a later lunch and I'll just eat dinner when I get home. Other times, like today, I had kind of a small lunch. So I'm like, oh, I'll just go pick up McDonald's or Jack in the Box, get a little snack, and then eat my full dinner later. So that's what I did today. I went over to Jack in the Box, good old Jack in the Box. They just opened back up right down the road from here. They were closed for a while. Yeah, right down on Texas Ave, for those of you who are local. Maybe I shouldn't say where I went because I'm about to tell a bad story. So I got a typical order for me. I'm cheap, so I order off the dollar menu. I got a dollar chicken sandwich. I got a dollar sweet tea. And I got a dollar's worth of two tacos, right? I love their tacos. They're always like super soggy and just absolutely wonderful and bad for you. And they taste great. So I ordered that. I ate my chicken sandwich. It was awesome. And then I bit into the first taco and it tasted like cardboard. It was absolutely terrible. It tasted like they made those tacos a few months ago before they closed. And then they just opened back up and served me those tacos because they were backloaded. So I was like, oh, maybe it was just a bad one. So I tried the second one. Tried the second one, had a bite of it, and if I'm sick for the next few weeks, you now know why. If I die, go find Jack in the Box. I'm just kidding. Jack in the Box, don't sue me. All right, so this is how I know the Lord is good. That's kind of a weird thing. I know the Lord is good because of bad food. No, that's not why I know. It's because I didn't know that my food wasn't going to work. Jake and Abby didn't know that my food was going to work, but they do know that I'm typically always hungry. So they brought food, and they often bring food to the studio, and I just like nibble off of, you know, I get one person's chicken here, a couple of fries there. Abby's a girl, so she never finishes all of her food, so I typically get like half of hers. But today, like, they bought me an entire meal. So Abby and Jake, thank you. I know that for the first time in many, many weeks, the Lord is working through you.
You're welcome.
You are just absolutely the best. The cutest couple I've seen in the last 30 minutes. So God's good to me, and I hope he's been good to you guys out there listening. It's we have an interesting show here today. So last week, I put out on Facebook and Twitter, like asking, okay, what topics do you guys want to listen to or want to hear about? What questions do you have for me about the Catholic Church or about anything in my life, whatever? And I want to talk about those on the show. And I did this for two reasons. Number one, like, I really want this show to be for you guys. I want it to be beneficial for you. I want people to get something out of this show to accomplish the actual goal of this show, to help people grow in their daily walk with Christ. And if I'm talking about something crazy that you don't care about, you'll probably tune out and it won't mean anything to you. So I love when there's this fans of the shows and fans of the show interact with the show and are able to tell me, like, this is what I'm interested in, these are the questions that I have. The second reason was that I was out of ideas. I was like, I have to do two shows in 24 hours because this show that you're listening to now was actually pre-recorded a week ago. And I'm also recording last week's live show tonight as well. I know you're probably confused now, but the whole point is that I'm recording two shows in one day. So I had to get a lot of content out in a very brief amount of time. So I put this question out, and I got some really, really cool questions, ranging from the silly all the way to the very, very serious and very difficult. So I'm going to tackle some of those now. I got dozens of responses from you guys, either through social media or people texting me in response to what they saw on Facebook and Twitter, that sort of thing. And I just want to, first of all, thank you guys because, man, really good questions that I think a lot of people probably have and will be beneficial for a lot of people. Some of the questions were like difficult and tough questions. We're going to tackle some of those today, but some of them were a little over my head. I have a very large head and a very tiny brain. So there are topics like explaining natural law, explaining metaphysics, and the topic of logic. I'm not smart enough to do that, but I'm still in your corner. I've booked some guests to come talk about those topics. One person is going to call in from Rome over the next couple of weeks, maybe next month, and answer this question, some of these questions, because this is what he's studying over in Rome. So, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. That doesn't connect at all. So the point is that there are some of these questions, all of these questions we are going to get answered in some way today, next week, last week, the next few weeks, that sort of thing. So if you don't hear your question answered today, check the podcast last week because I answered some of them then, and check the podcast or listen live over the next few weeks. And we will get to your questions because I really do appreciate y'all being involved with that. So the plan for today, this first segment, I'm just going to go through some of these questions and share some of my thoughts on them. And then our interview today is an absolutely wonderful guy from Catholic Answers, Mr. Trent Horn, Catholic apologist and author, speaker. He is our first ever repeat guest on Forte Catholic. He was on way back on episode 20 on Valentine's Day, and he has a new book out called Why We're Catholic. That's it, Why We're Catholic. And we're going to talk to him about his book, and this book really reaches out to people who, whether you're, to just about anybody, whether you're a practicing Catholic, a fallen away Catholic, somebody who's agnostic, doesn't care about the faith, whatever, this is a great book, and it's written in ways that aren't confrontational, that aren't very, quote-unquote, defending the faith, coming off that way, but really sharing the faith in a way that's like, this is why I'm Catholic and why I love it. So I'm looking forward to that. And then in the last segment, one of the things that's going to be kind of a theme for this show is the importance of relationship in these conversations. If you're trying to share the faith with somebody, or you're trying to share the faith, one of the questions is about parenting and grandparents of people who have fallen away from the church. One of the important things to keep in mind is that relationship is really important. People don't know how much you don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So really being able to have real relationships with people, whether they're believers or not. So one of the things that we're going to do, just to kind of add some levity to the show, because it is kind of an intense show with some of these difficult questions, we are going to also answer some questions that I got from the internet. And me, our producer Jake, and a couple of the other guys and gals that are on the show very regularly, we just want to have some fun and get to know each other a little bit more and help you get to know us a little bit more. Because a lot of times, if I'm just sitting up here either talking to myself or talking to the two people in the studio listening, there's people out there just listening to me talk to myself, right? And you've probably gotten to know me from listening to the show, but you're gonna get to know me in a very new way today and get to know our current producer and some of the other characters we have on the show. So let's dive right into this. One of these questions, we're gonna start off kind of serious. So I got two questions that are kind of similar, and I'm not gonna be able to give you a full answer today. It's not in the breadth of what we have to do, and so many of these things are so many of these situations are vastly different. But here's the questions. One from Evelyn Nightingale, who I know is a grandmother in my home parish, wonderful lady serving in the church. I was the youth minister for two of her grandkids, just a great family. And she asks, what can parents and grandparents say to bring their kids to Christ? It's a wonderful question. And then a similar one from Becca Landry, who's on the staff with me over at Ablaze Ministries. She said, how should parents talk to their kids about prayer experiences? And also how that conversation should be navigated and how parents can be like spiritual directors for their kids. So with those two questions, I'm just going to lay the groundwork for some of these things that'll give you kind of the backdrop, things to keep in mind as you're trying to wrestle with these things in your real life, because these situations are vastly different. Some people will hear, will interpret what you're doing as trying to, and they'll be pushed further away from the church. But Abby's actually in here. So Abby is as Jake's girlfriend. She has a really interesting story about why she's really involved in her faith. So who was it? It was your grandma?
Yeah. So I was really, really little. And my grandma told me one day, she was like, well, if you're not a Christian, then you're going to go to hell. And I was like, no, I don't want to go to hell.
and then what happened?
And then I became a Christian.
Okay. So now you're a practicing Christian, practicing Catholic. So like that is one avenue. I will tell you that is the exception to the rule. That is definitely not the most common way that people are brought to Christ. But it does go to show that literally every situation is different. So let's get into some of these, some of the more Forte Catholic approved ways to bring people to the church. The number one thing is that it's not an easy, simple formula. A lot of times on Catholic radio shows or in talks, in homilies or whatever, people can be like, this is the Trinity, point one, point two, point three, or this is what the Eucharist is, point one, point two, point three. This is not going to be like that. It's really difficult. Every kid is different. Every parent is different. Every situation is different. It's really not the same for everyone. So I can't speak to your individual circumstance, but I do have some things that I'd like to share from you, from my own thoughts. And from because this is a tough question, I reached out to some of my like inner circle, some of my really close ministry friends, and I'll share what they have to say too. So the first and foremost thing that I'd want to share with you, and I asked, we do this thing with the Blaze Ministries called Beyond the Pew. It's a video resource every week that comes out for parents. So if my answer is not sufficient for you, which it probably won't be, because I can't dive into everything we've tackled. We have hours of content on growing and being a parent or grandparent, guardian, whatever. It's we say parents, but obviously we know that there are, if you are taking care of a young child, you are essentially the parent, right? So I reached out to the team at Beyond the Pew and another friend of mine, Alex Gote, who's been on the show. And it was really interesting because this is the first thing that I had planned to say, and they all... When I asked them, what can parents and grandparents say to bring their kids back to Christ, they all said something very similar. Number one, share your experience, your joys, and your life with them before theological arguments. So before going to a kid, like, let's say a kid is like, I don't believe what the Catholic Church believes. So a lot of people will be like, well, the church is great because this theological point, this theological point, this theological point. It's like, my guess is they've probably already gotten that. If they've left the church or they've left Christ. Now, there are some kids, obviously, who have never been around church. But my guess for this listeners of this podcast is that it's kids who have gone to church before. So they've gotten theology. They've learned what the church teaches. But the most important thing we can do is share our experience, our joy, and our life with them. And the way that Matt Rice, who's on Beyond the Pew, said this, is that the number one thing that you need to do is fall deeper in love with Jesus yourself. So as the parent, guardian, the number one thing that you can do to help bring your child to Christ, grandchild, whatever, is to fall more deeply in love with Jesus Christ yourself. Because faith lived out authentically is attractive. They will be attracted to you being Christ to them. So the closer that you grow to Christ, the more you become like Christ. And the more readily available God will be to work through you to help lead these young people to Christ. Alyssa Trutter, another member of the Beyond the Pew team, she said, practical thing, don't make faith the only thing that you talk about with someone who has fallen away from the church. Talk about other things. Talk about life. Talk about sports. Talk about their friendships. Talk about whatever. Because a lot of times it's like they want to know that you care about them. So that's the primary reason for doing that. But also if like they're having trouble with friendships, you can speak into their friendships, giving them help and guidance in their friendships from a Catholic point of view without beating him over the head with it. And when I'm thinking of whenever I was a youth minister in my home parish, we me and the other youth ministers in the area would go to the public school after school on Wednesdays and run a program for them. And the principal didn't want us like preaching or sharing from the Bible. But what we did, we're all youth ministers, pastors, whatever. We shared the truths from the Bible. We just didn't say they were from the Bible. We were still able to speak into, this is how you be a leader, a good friend. This is how you do. Being able to say, like, this is what good Christians do without saying that this is what good Christians do, right? I also called our good friend Alex Gote, and he said the number one thing that he would like to share with you is that you as parents are not Jesus. And I think this might give you a little freedom, because a lot of times people in this situation feel the weight of, these are my children, and I have been tasked with leading these young people into Christ. And like, that is true to an extent. You have been tasked with that, but you're not Jesus. You're not their savior. Like, and he was adamant about me reminding you that, like, even when Jesus was on the earth, people rejected him. And we have to think about this in ministry all the time. It's like, we can go around and do youth ministry, or pastors can, you know, give great homilies. But still, like, we know what the numbers are. There are still people not involved in their faith, still people falling away from the church. And it's like, can we be doing things better, or have skills and things to be able to better serve people? Absolutely. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, like, Jesus let people walk away, and he still loved them. And like, sometimes we parents have to allow their kids to walk away, just as God the Father does. He allows people to walk away from him. But what is his desire? He still desires to bring them back. He still desires to bring them back into the fold. So I only got into like one of these questions, and I have about four more points on this. But the big thing that I want to leave you with is there is a ton of resources on beyondthepew.org. You can Google it. Put it in your search engine, whatever. There's a new video that comes out every week to help parents lead their kids to Christ. There's a great one from Matt Rice about how to pray with your kids, about sticky faith, about having conversations with them. So Trent Horn's actually going to help answer some of these questions in the next segment. We will be right back. All right, we are back to Forte Catholic, our second segment today. And as promised, we have our first ever return guest on Forte Catholic Radio, Mr. Trent Horn. Trent, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well.
Good. It's great to have you on. You came back on Valentine's Day. You were our guest way back on episode 20. So thanks for agreeing to come on. I'm glad I didn't scare you away the first time.
Oh, no. Thank you so much for having me on again. Always a pleasure, and looking forward to talking about my new book and anything else you have an interest in.
Yeah, I know you've written quite a few. We talked about hard sayings the last time that you were on. And this time we're going to talk about your new book, Why We're Catholic. So for those of you that don't know, you want a little bit more background on Trent, you can find him online. You can also go listen to episode 20 of the podcast. But just very quickly, he's an apologist and speaker over at Catholic Answers. And the guys over there are always so generous with their time. So thanks for coming in. So Why We're Catholic? I was emailed a few weeks ago that in the first 3 weeks that it sold 20,000 copies. That's just absolutely tremendous. So, and I know it's been quite some time there. So it is this very well-selling book. So why don't you just give us an intro about what this book is and why you wrote it?
Sure. This book is a basic summary of what we believe as Catholics, and more importantly, why we believe it. I wrote the book because whenever I've gone to parishes, I've gone to conferences, people come up to me and always ask, do you have a book that I can give to my son who's an atheist, or my husband who's interested in the church? Do you have a book that I can give them? And before this book was written, there wasn't really a single book you could give someone that explains the Catholic faith to a non-Catholic. So I wrote this book actually in a tone that you could give it to anyone who is not Catholic, an atheist, a Protestant, It doesn't matter. It explains, you know, why we believe in God, why we believe in Jesus, why we believe in the church and the moral teachings of the Catholic Church. And it does this in a brief, succinct way with language and examples that anyone high school age and up can appreciate. So it's that one book you can give anyone. Or if you're Catholic, if you read this book, it'll give you some of those explanations and illustrations to help you share your faith with other people. And what's great about giving the book away is we're selling it in bulk at 20 copies for $60, which is about $3 a copy.
Wow.
And people, I'm hoping they'll just give them away whenever they can.
That's absolutely fantastic. It's one of the biggest things that intrigued me to have you on about this book is that many Catholic books are written, obviously, for Catholics. That's kind of the entire point of writing a Catholic book. But so often they are not very approachable for somebody who isn't Catholic. And that's why I think this is actually such a brilliant idea to be able to speak to people where they are. It says that you have this non-confrontational tone, these non-confrontational terms where people could just pick it up. Why do you think that that's so important to speak in non-confrontational ways with people who aren't Catholic?
Well, I think it's important because it's very easy for people who are not Catholic, if they feel that they're being attacked or criticized, just to simply reject whatever message that they're being given. So if you write a book says, well, here's why you should be Catholic, but it's condescending or sneering in its tone, or it's unfair to other religious groups, then those people just won't bother. They'll read the book for a little bit, then put it down, and maybe even speak ill of it later. And that's certainly not what I wanted. I wanted this to be something you could give to anyone, Catholic, non-Catholic, or Catholics who are no longer practicing their faith. So it's a great book maybe to give away around Christmas or Easter at a parish, because the latter chapters deal with many things that non-practicing Catholics struggle with, like the clergy abuse scandal or the moral teachings of the church and things like that.
Wow, so it's not just theology stuff. It's more of like, what does the life of a Catholic actually look like? That's absolutely tremendous. Since you brought it up, I know a lot of people, I was just asked earlier today, actually, about how to address the pre-scandal stuff. I know you probably go in depth in your book, but in a shorter version, how would you how would you talk to people who come up and that's one of their big hangups with the Catholic Church?
With any kind of scandal, whether it's the clergy abuse scandal or any scandalous behavior on the part of a Catholic, past or present, there's three approaches I take sequentially. First, I acknowledge whatever the scandal is and I don't try to minimize it. So I don't try to whitewash it, put it under the rug. I'll say, if something really bad did happen, or someone, a Catholic, did something terrible, I'll say, yeah, that is really bad. They shouldn't have done that. And if it's a priest, a bishop, or even a pope, if they are guilty of breaking the law, then they need to be held accountable for their actions. Absolutely. Second, so after acknowledging the scandal, I try to zero in on an important moral principle, which is that bad people can still be right about things. Organizations, groups, religious institutions that teach the truth, that truth is not dependent on the actions of some members. So I try to use examples in the secular world to make my point. So I might say, for example, imagine a person who goes to see a doctor and the doctor commits malpractice or the doctor abuses them. And that person would have a very awful experience, obviously, but it wouldn't justify them saying, well, I'm never going to see a doctor again, or I'm never going to go to a hospital again. Because even though one member of that institution harmed them, that doesn't negate the truth that that institution has the means and the medicine to keep them healthy and save them from sickness and disease.
Right.
Likewise, the church, even if a member of that of the institution of the church might harm someone in sin, that doesn't take away the fact that the church has the cure for sin itself, which is salvation through Jesus Christ. And then finally, I try to, once I've got that moral principle understood, I try to then go to the factual elements and say, it's important to recognize also that some parts of scandals, like take the clergy abuse scandal, they're misunderstood. We're not talking about the majority of priests involved in a scandal. We're talking about a tiny minority, events that happened decades ago, and the church has instituted reforms to prevent this from happening again. And this is also behavior that is not just the Catholic thing. You wouldn't say, well, I can't be Catholic because look at all of this abuse that's happening. Well, mankind is sinful. And so things like sexual abuse, you will find that in Protestant churches, in Jewish temples, in football locker rooms, in public schools. You find that everywhere because you find sin everywhere. So the answer to that is to turn our lives over towards what God has given us to free us from sin, which is his church and the sacraments and our faith. So that's basically the approach I take. And that's summarized in chapter 16 of Why We're Catholic, if your listeners are interested in reading more on that subject.
Yeah, I'm sure, especially after hearing not only that answer, but some of these other topics that you're that you address in the book. These are the things that we often struggle with. I put out to my listeners, like, just what are some topic ideas from you guys? What are some questions that you have? The priest abuse scandal was one of them, and some of the other topics that you are covering in this book, like you mentioned earlier, sharing the faith with your kids or your grandkids that aren't into the faith. All these sorts of things. So I know that it'll be a very helpful book for just about anybody. And I know one of the big goals of this book is to urge people to consider either rejoining or joining the Catholic Church. And I know that there are a lot of people in my life that really struggle with evangelization within the Catholic Church. They're very okay with, okay, I'm going to be a practicing Catholic, but I don't want to shove my views onto other people. So how would you lead and guide people who are coming from that viewpoint and not wanting to share the truths of the Catholic faith?
Sure. And I think it's important to understand that we don't want to shove our faith onto anyone. I would agree with that. But you can share without shoving. And the way we do that, the approach that I like to take, is that when I'm speaking with people about subjects related to the faith, or anything like that, I try to ask them questions like, well, what do you think about the Catholic Church? Or why do you believe what you believe? How did you come to believe that? Do you think I should believe that? How do you know that it's true? And by taking an approach where we ask insightful questions, that can open up a conversation and a dialogue, and it doesn't feel like we're imposing our faith onto others. It's more that we're starting a conversation with them, and we're both mutually trying to find the truth. So I would say, asking questions, what do you think and why do you think that, about things related to our faith. And that allows us to indirectly share the faith by guiding a conversation in that way.
Yeah, that's so helpful, because I know there's a lot of people that try to do it without, try to share the faith without having a relationship with a person. And so often, like, we need to have that relationship, especially with somebody that we might want to give this book too. So you've written this book, and you mean for it to be shared with people who, with all the people that you listed, whether non-Catholics or non-practicing Catholics or other Christians, whatever. What do you think the best process to approach giving this book to somebody would be?
Well, I think a way to do that is to buy multiple copies of the book. That's why I'm really excited we offered in that bulk purchase. You can get it at shop.catholic.com. And if you have multiple copies, then you can leave a few just kind of hanging around. You can leave it on your coffee table. You can leave it in your car. And when you're speaking with people and they have questions about the faith, you can say, oh, there's actually a lot of answers about that here in this book that I have, Why We're Catholic. Or if you leave the book around, we were very intentional in creating the book to make the cover, not nondescript, but inviting. So the cover is simply a group of people who, standing together, they form the shape of a cross with the title, Why We're Catholic, at the top. And the title I deliberately chose that it's not something like, Why You Should Be Catholic, because then someone may feel a little put off and someone's trying to essentially sell them something, and they might feel put off picking up a book like that. But there may be an intrigue there, like, oh, well, why are these people Catholic? And then they might start flipping through the book that you've left out in your car, or in your home. And you can say, hey, you can have that if you want, because you bought a bunch of them already. And then you can ask them follow-up questions if they've had a chance to look at it, and let a conversation go from there.
Well, yeah, thanks for sharing. And I know that this book must mean a lot to you as a convert, that you must have great insight into this process of knowing what questions are really hang-ups for people, or what questions are holding people back from joining the church. So first of all, what were some of the things that were holding you back, and do you address many of those in this book?
Sure. Now, during my conversion process, I was not religious, so I first had to come to the conclusion that Jesus of Nazareth was who he said he was, God incarnate and rose from the dead. So there's actually three chapters dealing with who Jesus is, the Trinity, and the resurrection of Christ. And so I think those are very important chapters for someone who's not even Christian to read, whether they're another religion or if this in general, they call themselves spiritual, but not religious. Then I think other hangups people have is they think the Catholic faith is just about doing a bunch of works to get into heaven, or that Catholics worship Mary, or there's no good reason to believe in purgatory. And that's why in later chapters, there are entire chapters devoted to the Catholic view of salvation, why there's a chapter why we honor Mary, and a chapter even why we believe in purgatory. Just to clear all that up, so the book proceeds with kind of a funnel approach. It starts very broad, talking about the existence of truth and the existence of God. So at the very most basic level, we have to get those things down first, and then narrows to why I believe in Jesus, why the church, and then the moral and eschatological issues like heaven and hell that can be hangups even for people who identify as being Catholic.
So what for the people who might be spiritual but not religious, people who would say like, I don't need to be Catholic. I can just believe in God and be a good person. What is the some of the things that you share in the book on how to address that issue?
Yeah, I think what's important here is that we should commend someone who at least is spiritual. They understand that the world is not a material, accidental reality. There's something bigger beyond that. There's a cosmic plan for our lives. So I would say that if they understand that, why wouldn't they want to have a deeper, intimate relationship with the ultimate foundation of that spiritual reality, with the God who created them and has this wonderful plan for their lives? And ultimately, to understand who Jesus is and what he wants for us, which is not to follow an arbitrary set of rules. Some people think religion, well, it's just a bunch of arbitrary rules. Hardly. It's about being adopted into the family of God and through God's grace being transformed into those adopted children capable of doing supernatural acts of charity and love as part of his family. So I think those themes of family and grace are important to talk about, and that religion is our response to God and his gift of self and revelation. So that's why the book talks about God. This a theme that recurs throughout the book is that God is love, God loves us, and God has a wonderful plan for our lives in being a part of his family. And so by appealing to those basic human concepts and understanding, I think people can see religion is not a bunch of arbitrary requirements. Rather, it's a familial restoration of God's family, and people can find happiness and holiness and fulfilled lives in that. And so that's what I'm hoping they'll take away from reading this book.
And I can totally speak to that, because that's what I experienced in the church first and foremost. But before all the theology and being formed and all these things, was like, this is a family. This is something I could be a part of. And then all the theology was just a cherry on top. One of my professors would always say, every new thing I learn about God is another reason to love him. And I think this book can really help people, not only in sharing their faith and having the boldness and feeling prepared to share their faith, but also being able to increase their own faith and their own love for God. So the name of the book is Why We're Catholic. So I wanted to ask you, why are you Catholic? If somebody walked up to you, Trent, and said, why are you Catholic? Maybe somebody who knew you before you were Catholic. Why did you do this? Why did you decide to be Catholic?
Yeah, and I guess my short answer would be that the God of the universe who created everything, through his grace, led me to see that he is not just a God that's out there. He's a God who became man and died on the cross for our sins, and that he wants me to spend eternal life with him. And so he's helped me to see there's good historical evidence that this God became man in Jesus. And this man, Jesus Christ, founded a church that still exists to this day, which is the Catholic Church. And what the Catholic Church teaches is true, good, and beautiful. And so I want to believe what is true, good, and beautiful for my life. And that's why I'm Catholic.
And then finally, in your conversion process, as you're going through what many people reading your book may be going through, what were the things that were most helpful in your conversion so that you could give the answer that you just gave us?
Sure. I think what was helpful for me was having people I could go and speak with, people that I could discuss the faith with, get questions answered, and have spiritual support as I'm moving through the process, things that I understand and things I don't understand about the Catholic Church, be guided through that. So that's why my book is actually, well, first, the latter part of the book at the end has practical tips. If someone wants to be Catholic, here's how they join RCIA, or they are Catholic, here's how to go to confession, even if they haven't been in a really long time. My book is also, Why We're Catholic, is dedicated to the parish where I converted, St. Teresa Parish here in Phoenix.
Oh, wow.
And to me, that's another way of sharing to people that the most important part of a conversion process is for us to be present and available to others as they're moving along their spiritual journey.
Well, Trent, thanks so much for your ministry to the church, for coming on the show, for writing this book that I know is going to be helpful to so many people. If people want to get connected with you or buy the book, what's the one place that they can go to find everything that you got?
Sure. They could go to my website, trenthorn.com. But if they would like to get a copy of Why We're Catholic, I'd recommend they visit our shop website, shop.catholic.com. Or that's where you can order the book in bulk. And they can also order the book at an online book retailer or at a local Catholic bookstore if they just search for its title, Why We're Catholic.
That's so great, Trent. I'm really excited for people to get their hands on this book. Again, thanks so much for coming on, spending some time with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Promise, we are back for our final segment of the day. We answered some pretty tough questions in the first half, some of your listener questions. We had a lot of fun in the last segment talking to Mr. Trent Horn from Catholic Answers about his new book, Why We're Catholic and Sharing the Faith. And one of the big proponents of this, we're going to kind of be a little lighthearted in this last segment. One of the big proponents about sharing the faith is the importance of knowing the people that you're sharing the faith with and them knowing you. So I was thinking, okay, so like I do my best to try to share the faith every week with you guys. Jake does his job of producing and talking every now and then when I allow him to. And Jake, I don't know if we've announced it on the air before that you're going to be leaving us soon. You're quitting like Pope Benedict.
Yep. just like our previous Pope, I will be stepping down from my position to be replaced by someone just as great and amazing.
Yeah, you are. I think you're going to be doing a little less praying than our current Pope Benedict. No, I just want to make it very clear. Jake isn't quitting because of me. Completely.
I would like to counter that by saying I might be praying more because I am going to college, and so I will be needing more prayer to help me through that.
Prayer, and more prayer. If you want to hear an interview with Pope Benedict, go support me on Patreon. You can hear an exclusive interview. I promise there's an interview with Pope Benedict on there.
It's absolutely amazing. Great.
Go check it out. But yeah, you're going off to school. So I wanted you to get to know not only me, but our friendly producer here, Jake, and also somebody who's been on the show before a few times, who used to be very, very afraid of a microphone, and now she absolutely rocks it, like I always knew she would, because she's awesome. But Sam Shepherd is going to be our new producer starting in about a month. Sam, how are you?
I'm great.
Oh, good. I'm very glad to have you here. So what we're going to do, along the premise of getting to know people and showing the importance, we're going to get to know each other a little bit, answering some of these crazy questions. So I went to the internet. It's a great place. Wonderful place. I have a lot of fun on the internet. And I found this list of questions that I was like, okay, we can do rapid fire questions. Because I was watching Jimmy Fallon the other day. Jimmy Fallon's hilarious. And he was doing this rapid fire game with his guests. I think one of them was Benedict Cumberbatch and somebody else. And like, it's so much fun getting to know these people that you know for playing in like Smaug in The Hobbit, whatever you want to call him. Smaug's the big dragon.
I didn't get a name.
We all learned something new about Sam. She knows nothing. We got some of these questions from the internet, so thank you, internet. And these are rapid-fire questions. So I'm going to ask the question, and we're going to go ladies first. Sam's going to answer the question first.
Okay.
Give me a second to think about it.
Yeah, and I'll change the order up. So it'll be Sam first, the next question will be Jake first, the next question will be me first.
Okay.
And obviously, this is a Catholic radio station, so I want you to uphold the integrity of the game. You have to answer immediately. With the caveat of we're on Catholic radio, so make sure that
don't get you fired.
Don't get me fired.
Got it.
I'm here for only a month.
Yeah, don't take me down with you. Jeez Louise. All right, so the importance of sharing joy. That's what we're doing. We're already having fun and laughing, that sort of thing. This is important when you're sharing the faith. It's important to build relationship, to have relationships with people that you're sharing the faith with. We talked about that earlier in the show, so I'm not going to dive completely into it. Without further ado, let's go ahead and get into this. So, Sam, if you could buy any type of food right now, what would it be?
Mexican food.
Shrimp.
Rolos. I really like Rolos. Have you ever frozen Rolos before?
I don't like Rolos.
No. I do like Rolos, though.
Try frozen
chocolate
Rolos.
Chocolate and caramel. Okay.
Mm-mm. Caramel's the best. Is it? Okay. Next question. This wasn't planned. Caramel or caramel?
Caramel.
Caramel.
It's definitely caramel because it's not Our Lady of Mount Carmel. It's definitely caramel.
Oh, I definitely say Our Lady. Caramel.
Our Lady of Caramel.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
It's Our Lady of
Caramel.
Yeah, that's what it is. Caramel is the candy. Caramel is Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
No, there's the same.
I'm confused. I don't even know what I'm saying.
There's an extra A in there in the dessert or the candy.
Yeah, caramel.
But it's still pronounced caramel.
No, that's dumb. Okay. all right. What color, Sam, what color is your toothbrush?
Purple.
Also purple.
Mine's purple too.
Yeah!
This is fantastic. Jake, you're next.
Okay.
If
what's
you could
up?
Be any animal, what would it be and why?
I would say panda because it's super chill, just like myself.
I love Panda Express. I would be a.
Same thing.
It's definitely the same thing. You don't eat pandas there, though. Very weird.
Yeah, that'd be
great. I would be a cheetah because they're very fast and they eat animals.
I think I would be a penguin.
Why?
I don't know. They're cute and fluffy.
Oh, you kind of look like a penguin.
When they're babies.
Yeah, when they're babies.
This is fantastic.
Not the old ones.
I like this game. Who's next? Jake?
Sure.
Jake, sure.
Whatever.
I'm in charge. I do what I want. What is one of the things that you would want to put on your bucket list?
Getting married.
Getting married. I love the look
from
the
girlfriend.
Do you have
a comment, Abby?
Next to... No, she doesn't have anything to say.
No
she
comment.
Just put her hands up because she surrenders. I surrender all. All right. I would put on my bucket list going to the Holy Land and not dying while I'm there.
Oh, that's important.
Jesus already did that for me.
True.
I think I just want to travel. I just want to go everywhere, be everywhere, see everything, do all the things.
If you could... What is it called? Okay, so bilocate, trilocate, quadlocate. What if you could locate to all the locations? What is that called?
Infinilocate.
That's exactly
infinilocation.
What it's called. So that's what you want to do. Sam wants to do that so she can be eating Mexican food while brushing her teeth with a purple.
While watching Ed Sheeran.
I think that's being omnipresent.
Omnipresent. That's God, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he does that. God's eating Mexican food right now. That's awesome. All right, for me, who is my favorite superhero and why? It is Wolverine because he can heal himself and he took his like normal human abilities and used science to make them better, and now he's unstoppable.
Whoa. Mine is definitely Spider-Man. He is the best.
Why are you wearing a Captain America shirt?
Come on. You're a traitor to your own cause.
It's all Marvel. It's fine.
Fair enough. I also chose Spider-Man. That's, I still haven't seen the
irony of that. Like, that movie. In Civil War, they fight against each other.
Yep.
Spider-Man
I know,
Captain
it's
America.
So funny. Yeah.
Sad. But I still want to see the Tom Holland movie, so... I haven't seen it yet.
Probably the first 5 minutes is the best because it says like behind the scenes of that fight scene.
Hmm.
It's really funny. Anyway.
I'm excited.
You should definitely go see it.
I want to go see it. I'll probably go this weekend with that bride of mine. Sam, you wrote a blog recently about Spider-Man, didn't you?
I did.
Okay, I haven't read it yet, I admit. So okay. Why don't you tell me about it so that I don't have to read it? Share with our friends. Why did you write a blog about Spider-Man?
Yeah, he's my favorite. So I was writing about him, and I was actually sharing a story about how much I love Spider-Man. And then someone said, Sam, aren't you like terrified of spiders? And I was like, yeah. And so then they were like, you should pray to the patron saint of spiders. And I was like, is there a patron saint of spiders? And I looked it up, and there is a patron saint of spiders.
Saint Peter Parker.
Nope.
Oh.
And so
Pietro Parker.
Yes.
He's from Italy. Yeah.
And so I looked it up, and it's Saint Felix. So my blog is about the real Spider-Man, Saint Felix.
That's awesome. I was really hoping it was about Tom Holland Spider-Man, so I'm a little disappointed.
I hadn't seen it at that point.
I guess I shouldn't be because, you know, I'm Catholic and I have a Catholic radio show, but I really like Spider-Man. Kudos to you. All right, you're next. Who do you admire the most? Me. Moving on. Okay. I'm just kidding.
when you said that, the first person I thought of was my mom. That's the first person that popped in my head.
So. That's nice because she's out in the car waiting for you to finish this interview.
She loves me.
She loves me not.
I don't actually know, but I guess my brother, because he's really awesome. Up in North Dakota, gonna get married next year. Mm. He's a pretty cool dude. I get to see him in a week. I'm excited.
That's wonderful. And you get to get a Nintendo 3DS game back from him that I've been wanting to borrow.
That's
for
very
months.
True.
So I'm selfishly excited that you're going to see this person that you admire. I admire myself a lot. I'm just kidding. That's what you all expected me to say. I admire quite a few people. A lot of them are like Catholic speakers who I try to emulate. People like Annie Hickman, Jim Beckman, a lot of these big speakers, because like I want to be them. So that's mine. We'll go to Jake for this one. What's your favorite summer activity?
Blob.
The Blob?
Yes.
That was a lot of fun. We talked about the Blob on our Camp Basic episode a couple weeks ago.
I just recently went to Texas Conquest Camp, and they had a Blob there. And I got to blob my girlfriend's brother about 20 feet in the air because the weight difference is not what it should have been. I'm a little bit heavier than him. So, and he landed on his head. It was a great day. It was his birthday. Wow.
In the
great
water,
day.
Though? In
yeah.
the water.
Okay. In the water. He didn't land just on his head on the ground.
It was his birthday. He also passed away that day.
Went to the hospital.
A short 16 years.
He thinks
years.
He's Spider-Man now. Struggle.
He now has water power. He's Aquaman. He became Aquaman. My favorite summer activity is going inside into the AC. I really like the AC.
I literally was just thinking the same thing.
You can't say that. That was mine.
Okay, avoid the sun. Can I say that?
Avoiding the sun.
So going to the movies.
Not inside, just undercover.
In the darkness, avoiding it.
In the darkness. All things need to be brought to light, Sam.
It's true.
I guess it's me now. If a movie was made for your life, what genre would it be and who would play you? It would be a comedy and Jim Gaffigan would play me because a lot of people think that I look like Jim Gaffigan.
I could see it.
Yeah.
Yep.
A girl, I went to a wedding this weekend and there's a girl who came up to me and poked me and said, "Hey, Jim Gaffigan, tell me a joke." So I said, "You're ticklish." And I tickled her under her neck. I know this girl. It's not some random chick.
That's a little weird.
All right. What about you, Sam?
I think mine would be a comedy as well. I do a lot of silly things. And the first person I thought of to play me is Raven.
Queen Latifah.
Oh, Raven, I didn't think of Queen Latifah.
Because you played, Queen Latifah.
That's true. In Hairspray.
In Hairspray, yeah.
Yeah, I did do that when I was in Hairspray.
Raven Simone.
But she looks like me. Like,
she's,
when I was a kid.
She's crazy.
Well,
now. But
that's so Raven.
Oh, that's such a good show. I used to love that show.
You didn't keep singing. I thought you were going to.
I always went, oh, snap.
You didn't see that feature coming, did you?
I didn't.
That's a Raven joke. Oh. So, 4 people appreciated that. What about you, Jake?
Mine would be a very serious drama.
I don't know.
Because I've had a very serious life. Taylor, who would play me?
The same person that played the sloth in Ice Age. That's your character.
Thank you.
Tell us a joke.
That's awesome.
That was probably the best part of that movie.
All right, did we all answer that?
Yes.
I think we all favorite cartoon character and why?
Oh gosh, the first thing I thought of was Powerpuff Girls. This is what happens when you make me think really quickly. It probably is not even the right answer.
Yeah, I had a long conversation with somebody about if it was Powerpuff Girls or Powderpuff Girls.
Power.
Powerpuff Girls is a cartoon. Powderpuff Girls are a group of girls playing football.
It's true.
Correct. Yeah.
All right, what about you, Jake?
Timmy Turner from Fairly Odd Parents, because that was literally my childhood and my favorite show growing up.
I thought you said Tina Turner for a second. And I was like, what? On so many levels, what?
Timmy Turner.
Timmy Turner. Mine would be Ash Ketchum, because I
know what that is.
From Pokemon.
Oh.
He's the main guy in Pokemon. I am convinced.
Right.
So heaven is perfection, right? It's the fulfillment of all of everything that we need. Some people call it the beatific vision where you see God. I am convinced that I will spend the beginning of my eternity in
in heaven?
Purgatory. I baited you into that one. I will spend the beginning and probably the majority of my eternity in purgatory. But right after that, right when I get to heaven, I'm going to be like, oh, whoa, what's up, Jesus? And like give him his bro hug, and we'll have a secret handshake that we've never practiced, but it would be perfect because we're in heaven now.
Right.
And then he will send me to the Pokemon universe, and I will be a Pokemon master for the first few years.
Who would be your starter?
My dude, it's not even a question. Charmander.
No. You're just thinking first gen. Mudkip. Third gen.
Oh, gosh.
Best Pokemon.
I don't even know what's happening.
Good.
At all. Good. About this.
Neither do half of our listeners or more.
My element.
Yeah, I can see when people tune out of the podcast. And it was just a second ago. all right. Are you, Jake?
Yes.
Or me, I'll answer. Sure. Are you a morning or night person? I'm definitely a night person. I hate waking up. Waking up is literally the worst thing that I do every day.
Wow.
I love staying up late hours into the night. Sam?
I am more of a morning person than I am a night person.
That's hard to believe.
Really?
Yes.
I think I work better in the mornings.
You're always so okay. Grumpy.
When I get to the afternoons,
I guess so.
That's when I want to go see a movie.
I would say that I'm also a night person like you, Taylor. Unless I get enough sleep, then I can like do things in the morning. But most of the time I can stay up pretty late if need be.
What's crazy is like working in the church and like leading worship a lot, like when I was a music director, my voice literally doesn't wake up until about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. Mm. And I would sometimes do two masses by that time. I did like the 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock mass and then the 10 o'clock mass. And then, you know, so like I got better. As the day went on, it's like 8 o'clock mass. It's like,
those two.
Here I am.
Those two groups of people come together. It's like, I just love it when Taylor sings. Yeah. It's like, are you serious? I can't even.
He's terrible.
Stand that man's voice.
He should never be allowed in the church. Period.
They're probably all asleep, so they don't know. So yeah. Okay.
That's true.
Fine.
Okay. Jake, what is one thing that annoys you the most?
I don't know. When people like pinch my nose.
That's so random.
It's just because it happened recently and I just hate it.
That's the I couldn't have expected an odder answer.
It just bugs me.
That's so funny. Sam?
All I want to do is do it now, just so you know. I don't like being interrupted. That's the first thing I thought of.
What did you say?
You're going to interrupt me.
Wait, what'd you say again? Mine is my kids do this all the time. It drives me absolutely bonkers. When I'm sitting in a chair and somebody keeps like running into the chair, or like if I'm sitting like on a sofa and somebody's running into the sofa on the other side, I can't stand it when like I'm moving and I'm not moving. Like I'm not choosing to move and someone's moving me. I absolutely can't stand it. So I hope you guys had fun. I had a lot of fun. I think we had a lot of fun in studio. I hope that was fun for you out there listening. Got to know us a little bit better. The whole point of this, again, was like a lot of questions like these are questions that you can ask people when you're trying to share the faith. Like it's because a huge part of sharing the faith with somebody, sharing yourself, is sharing Christ in you, is having a real relationship with people. We talked about that in the first segment, how to talk to people who have fallen away from the church. It's like, they don't want you to just walk up to them and talk about the faith all the time. Like walk up to them, ask them what they're interested in, ask them their hopes and dreams, ask them what their starter Pokemon was when they were a kid. ask them boxers or briefs or like whatever you want to ask them. Just like really get to know people. That's our final encouragement for you today. I hope you enjoyed the show. I absolutely enjoyed it. Thank you, Jake and Sam for coming in. Thank you Jake for producing all this time and Sam for starting here in about a month. We will be right back next week. Say it.